GeneseVideoSportsNetwork.com. I'm Tim Coles, and joined as always each and every week by the head coach and general manager of the Green Bay Gamblers, Coach Pat Mikic. Coach, thanks for joining us once again, and congratulations on the opening weekend win.
Yeah, it took, feels like a year and a half to get to that first game of the year, but it was fun to get back in that environment where it counts for real points in the standings, and I thought the kids played well.
And take us on the bench for just a little bit. You're playing Muskegon on Saturday, and boom, right away, down 2-0. You're able to come back and win 4-2. But take us onto the bench for just a little bit when you had to talk to your team down 2-0 and be like, hey, guys, what's going on?
Well, we were getting plenty of chances. They scored two nice hard area goals. They were getting to the net, but before they scored their first goal, I mean, we had three great chances. Their goalie was playing well, started the game, and you kind of expect, they had played the night before, so you kind of expect them to have a little bit better game feel. And then we kind of felt that we're going to have the better legs come later in the game. So it was an interesting start, but you weren't really getting down or, you know, worried about anything because we were getting our chances as well.
And then coming up with two big goals in that game, Jackson Coons. Talk about the, you know, how happy you were to see him get on the board, not just once, but twice.
Yeah, I thought their whole line played great, and they were kind of the line that was running the offense for us early in that game. And so Jackson, he's a big, strong kid, obviously an NHL draft pick just a few weeks ago. And his ability to get to the net and use his size and then his great stick, and you know, both of his goals were, you know, within inches of the crease, and that's where he needs to be to have that success.
And heading into another week of practice, what were maybe some of those things that you were able to snag from that game that you said, yes, let's build on that type of success? And what were some of the items from that game where you say, you know, we got to go back to the drawing board and make sure that things are going well?
Well, first we do our eye test and we watch the video, and then our analytics numbers come in as well. And I think the eye test was very true that, you know, our ozone play was strong and we possessed the puck, and we like to use that style of game and try to wear teams down defensively. And so that was a bright spot for us. I mean, especially the way we scored our goals were all in that way. But we sat there and said, we need to be better in transition. And we didn't think we had enough odd numbered rushes. We didn't think we were fast enough through the middle of the ice. And so, you know, those are areas that, you know, we can build on just with some, you know, mentality and what we're going to do when we don't have the puck. And then the last thing was our D zone. I thought we were good when we were in our tight structure, but when Muskegon spread us out and they've got some really talented forwards, I thought, you know, we had some missed assignments and gave up some opportunities there.
And when it comes to, you were saying with the transition part of it, using that speed a little bit more, was that kind of one of those things where you're waiting for Muskegon to maybe show those legs from the night before? Or was it that mentality thing?
Yeah, it's more of a mentality thing. And, you know, you can't, you know, sit behind the puck. And I thought, you know, you've got to be in a race to get in front of whoever's carrying it and really force their defenseman back. And we didn't do a good enough job of that. I thought we sat behind the puck a little bit too much. And that allows a defending team to stay up on you and keep their, what they'll refer to as their gap tight. And so we want to be able to come through that middle of the ice, and as we enter Muskegon zone, you know, be creating those chances on the rush as well.
Joined by head coach and general manager Pat Mikic. And how much does this kind of week mess you up a little bit? Obviously, USHL schedules a lot of Friday, Saturday night, kind of two home games in the weekend. This week, you got a Thursday day off, then a Saturday. How do you have to kind of change your schedule up based on that?
Well, with the Thursday game, it's not as much. I mean, we took a practice, a very light one on Sunday morning, just to try to get the lactic acid out and prepare the bodies for this week. And then we'll have most of our structure in place. We've been practicing for so long. The guys are excited to play games. So we'll try to, you know, work on those couple things we'd like to improve on for this weekend. And now we're playing a Youngstown team that plays completely different style than what we saw with Muskegon. So we'll try to prepare our guys for things that we can have success with. And that's not a bad week, you know, going one day early. It's, you know, later on in the season when we have like a Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, that's when the guys are at their happiest. They know they're playing games and they're excited to go.
Yeah, because later this month we'll even have a Wednesday night game as well. So you're saying that part of it doesn't really mess up the routine too much.
No, you're always working on little things, but our systems are in place. We just want to make sure we can have some video to show what we're doing well and some areas we can improve on. But, you know, ultimately, these, you know, kids at this age, 16 to 20 years old, they get bored with practice. They want to get out there and play those games. So, you know, a Thursday, Saturday for the guys this week is exciting for them.
Well, especially since they haven't had a real game action since March. I'm sure that they were just happy to strap on the skates and play for keeps.
Yeah, and you know, it's 2 points every time we play, and you know, they're valuable points whether they're now or in late April. So I mean, it was good to get off to that start, especially at home. You know, we want to build that, you know, strong, you know, home stand and where our guys expect to win in our building every night, and so it's important to, you know, play a solid three periods like we did.
And before we chat about Youngstown coming into town this week, once again, Thursday and Saturday night, we'll have those games for you on 104.1 WRLU. Sawyer Scholl, a Wisconsin kid, commits to UW-Madison. And how happy are you for a kid like Sawyer to get kind of a hometown recognition by the Badgers and bringing them in to play on their team?
Yeah, happy for Sawyer. Obviously, you know, I would say 90% of the kids who grow up here in Wisconsin, you know, dream about playing for the Badgers at some point. So he, you know, he's progressed. I've watched him since he was 14, 15 years old and here in Green Bay when he was playing at Notre Dame. And his game has just grown as his body has. And, you know, he's very deserving of the opportunity. And, you know, it wasn't a hometown deal. He was being recruited by, you know, numerous schools and was able to choose that, you know, Wisconsin was the right fit for him.
And what is it about your game that you've liked since you played at Notre Dame that's really standing out now and obviously caught the attention of numerous schools, including Wisconsin?
Well, it's just his progression. You know, we probably had a great heads up with Sawyer over the rest of the league. He's practiced with us for the last couple of years, and we're very aware of where his game was at, and he's just progressed. He's always been an intelligent player. He needed to add some strength to his skating, and he's done that. And so, you know, we expect him to continue to grow with us. And this is not a player that has reached his top mark by any means.
Now, you mentioned already Youngstown. They are coming into the Ranch Center this Thursday and Saturday night. As we mentioned, you'll be able to hear the games on 104.1 WRLU and NewRadioSportsNetwork.com. You mentioned before, they bring a little bit of a different style of game compared to what you just dealt with Muskegon. How does their style of play maybe differ from what Muskegon brought?
But they're going to be more physical. Brad Patterson's teams are always going to come at you, and they're going to, you know, be on top of you all night long and with more of a physical game. Muskegon was going to challenge us with their skill and the way their forwards go. And so we know we've got to be ready for their forecheck. They're not going to slow down on anything. And then their D zone, they play a little bit tighter. And so we've got to find ways to, you know, create offense from what we'll refer to as some of the side slots and some of those things, because they protect their net extremely well. So some of those goals we got in behind them on with a Muskegon team, it's going to be a lot tougher against this Youngstown team. And so we're going to have to find ways to create offense in different ways in that offensive zone.
And, you know, playing that physical style game, what do you kind of work with your guys on if they're expecting to, you know, if they get into a corner of the ice and they're trying to get the puck out, they know that they're going to get hit. How do you kind of mentally prepare your team for something like that?
Well, we just want everything moving quick. If we get caught standing over pucks, then we're going to be slow and they're going to have their support there every time with a second defender to grab that puck. So we've got to have that puck moving. We got to move our feet. We got to move it around that O-zone as quick as possible. And then in our transition, our defense are probably just going to have to work really tight together. And because it's going to be a little play after a little play, because everyone's going to take their hits in transition. But if we make those first couple touches, you know, proper, now we're going to be able to get out of that zone and have some speed to attack.
And I know that there's some leagues out there that aren't allowing hitting because of everything going on. How much does that kind of change their game compared to what you're going to be able to do in the USHL this year?
I can't even imagine, to be honest. Like, I'll be interested to talk to some of those coaches from some of those other leagues and see what they tried to work through and how they tried to coach it. And I mean, I guess you go back to some of the youth hockey levels where they're not using it, and you're talking about your stick details have to be so sharp and make sure you're defending, you know, with proper stance and positioning more so than thinking about taking a player's body.
Are they going to have the big stop signs on their back like the youth kids have?
They might have to. They might have to put a stop sign on the entire jersey. It's good for me. I can't imagine like how at this level you slow players down enough to not have that contact. So I'm sure those coaches are trying to grind through those situations right now.
That just has to be the most awkward thing ever. I mean, especially, I mean, talking about they haven't been on the ice since March and all of a sudden they finally get back on the ice. It's like, oh yeah, you can't hit that guy.
Exactly. But what we've said from the start here is, I mean, we had to change things in all of our protocols, but all our players want to do is play and we want to coach. And so I'm sure in all those leagues, the coaches and the players are all thinking the same way. Whatever they're allowed to do, they're going to do just to, you know, be able to participate in this sport.
And we have our question emailed to us once again at news@DoorCountyDailyNews.com. Pat, the question that Paul from Casco has for you is obviously you get to travel to a bunch of different arenas in the USHL. Which one's your favorite?
Well, the Resch Center for sure. I mean, like being part of the games at the Resch, I mean, it's such an amazing facility. But some of the other buildings, I always love going to Omaha or Fargo. They're similar to the Resch, but smaller. And so that same bowl mentality where the fans are right on top of you. And then Sioux Falls is another one that it's even bigger than the Resch. You know, they lead the league in attendance every year. And it's a great market to go to because you know you're going to have a great crowd. And my least favorite place to go is Waterloo. They have too many cowbells. I can barely hear for 3 days afterwards.
Well, the only other USHL venue I've been to is Waterloo. So you bring up a very valid point.
There it is.
Well, Coach, we thank you as always. Each and every week you join us here on the New Radio Sports Network. And we thank you for your time and good luck this week against Youngstown.
I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you next week, Tim.
I'm Tim Coles with the New Radio Sports Network.